to Titus chapter 2. And later we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. As we look at the day that we celebrate an important figure in our lives, Mother. We celebrate Mother's Day today because they're the people that are supposed to be core people in forming each one of us, in forming our character and what we believe and the morals that we live by that teach us. God has placed two people there, and the mother is one of them. And so, mothers, first off, thank you for choosing life. You saw and you understood that what was growing within you was a life, that you were carrying a life that was created by God. And thank you for honoring that. Thank you for being here today at church. Thank you if you're a loving mom. Because not everyone can celebrate having a loving mom. Not everyone can say they had a mom that cared, that was faithful, that was around. And that can be tough. Some that are here have lost their moms, maybe not that long ago. And to be quite honest, sometimes these holidays can be hard. Kind of create a jealousy or an envy, a hurt. Not that they're mad at you, but they just remind what they didn't have. And in my case, it's on Father's Day. And so we honor them too. Some here have been blessed that ladies have stepped up to fill an absence of not having a mother in the home. And I think that video showed those same situations in Scripture. But being a mom is nonstop work. It's hard, sometimes hurtful. But if it's done right, in the long run, there's great rewards. There's awesome rewards. One of the rewards is when you get to see your own kid grow to be a mom or a dad that instills values in their kids, taking care of your grandkids. Sure makes you pray for your kids in a different light when that starts to happen. That's fresh for us. But another reward that a mother can have for working hard and being a godly mother is when you see your kids serving the Lord, using their talents to praise God, to praise Jesus Christ. When you see your kids witness to others, inviting others to church. Sometimes kids can put us adults to shame, can't they? Because kids don't have shame about going and inviting someone to church, going and telling what they learned at church. And sometimes they teach us. But those rewards that can come to a mother don't just happen. A reward for being a godly mother does not just happen. Those kids don't just become a positive part of society by accident. Those kids don't just happen to become great parents because they figured it out. The kids don't accidentally become servants of Jesus Christ. They needed someone to go beyond being nice and caring. They needed someone to represent Jesus Christ to them. They needed someone to teach them God's word. They needed someone to model godliness for them. And the first in line to do this is not the church. It was mom and dad. Deuteronomy is very clear of this. When the law started being instituted in Christ, Deuteronomy chapter 6 is very specific. That parents, that we are responsible, it's the parents' job. And then the church is an extension of the home. And by the grace of God, when sometimes when there's not a godly mom or dad, the church or people of the church can take that spot and teach and draw in. We're going to start a series today speaking on the roles of men and women. Parts of this is controversial. Some become upset. Maybe even here. But remember, this book that we study from is not inspired by your pastor. I ain't smart enough to write one chapter in this. This is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for every area of our lives. And so when you get offended, you go study God's word and see that that wasn't pastor's opinion or his thoughts, but that this book overrides my opinions and your opinions. This book overrides what the school has taught me. This book overrides my political desires and agendas. I don't care what Trump said, Biden said, Ronald Reagan said. If it's contradiction to God's word, guess who I'm going with? God's word. As a believer, our desire, your desire, my desire should be to be conformed to the image of God, to put on his character. And the only way we learn his character is in his word, what he's given to us. And being godly instructors to whomever God has placed in our lives, that should be our desire. A good mother is a blessing. But we see through Scripture what is truly needed for a mother, what God calls a mother to be. What a mother needs to be is above being good and kind and sweet and making good cookies. Those are good things. But she needs to be a godly mother. A godly mother. I wrote some of this up on the back of the bulletin. Maybe you can read it later when you get home. But I challenge you, just take and let it bounce around in the head a little bit. Because God has called a woman to be a godly mother. So what is a godly mother? Godly mother is not just simply someone that goes to church and can spew out some of the words of God. Well, we're familiar with the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. And we know that her life is investing in the lives of others. And you know why she does this? Because of her fear of the Lord. Because she has placed God in his righteous position in her life. She holds him to the authority of her life. And that's why, speaking of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. If you spend more time on your hair than you do the word of God, you're wasting your time. No amens on that. Leonard, I expected at least you to say amen there. No. See, all mothers does. Everything that a mother contributes and invests and provides are great. But we investigate the desire. Why does she do what she do? She should do it because of her love and her fear of the Lord. Everything she does and says should demonstrate and speak the words of God. Everything she says and does should guide someone to God and his word. That is a godly mother. Because she's taken the word of God and invested it in her own life. It's transformed her, and she's pulling other people to do the same. Today we're going to see the goal of a godly mom. It's the first of the series is all. In Titus chapter 2, I hope you're there already, it's a letter written by Paul by the inspiration of God. Remember, this is God's word that he allowed Paul to pen for us. And he's writing to a young pastor named Titus. And in this little book, this little letter, chapter 1 is the qualifications for church leadership. And then chapter 2, he speaks to the congregation. Understand, leadership of the church are also the congregation of the church. So once they have qualifications, chapter 1, they also have to fit the qualifications that a person is called to. It's instructing Titus on what to teach in the church of God. And this is the text that has made some people mad. But when you love God's word and want to know his heart, it'll comfort you instead. So in Titus chapter 2, look at verse 1. As Paul challenges Pastor Titus, but speak thou to things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. I thank you for your word that guides us and corrects us. I ask that each one of us would have a soft heart, just wanting you to guide and direct, that we'd want to submit to you. I ask that you'd convict us in areas of life that do not fit your desire. That instead of wanting to change your word and find excuses to get around the wording, that we would want your word to transform our lives. I ask that your spirit would work today, Lord. I ask that you give me the words to say. I ask that we would all be comforted and encouraged today. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, as we look at this passage that we just read, before we get to the subject, notice the importance of the subject. As he's speaking to Pastor Titus in verse 1 there. He starts off with this, but speak thou. Now he's speaking to the pastor. I got to take this very personal. He's speaking to the pastor here. He says, speak thou. He's saying, Pastor, it don't matter what anyone else is teaching. It don't matter what other books are saying. It don't matter what you heard on the TV. It don't matter what other churches are doing. You speak this. It don't matter what is culturally acceptable. It don't matter, you know, what the law has said. It don't matter how mad people get. It don't matter who disagrees. It don't matter what their mama has taught them. Look at what he says in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Pastor, you're going to be held accountable before God. Paul's telling Timothy here, listen here, you're preaching to the church of God, to the bride of Christ. You're teaching his sheep. You're caring for his people. You're not doing a job. You are shepherding. He is the one that paid for their salvation, not you. Every pastor needs to remember this so that they can deliver without concern. That we can preach God's word not worried about who's going to come in his office the next week. Who's going to give you a phone call? Who's going to be calling each other? Who's going to have roast pastor for lunch today? That's the freedom we have to have, is to remember, listen, I'm called to take care of the church of God according to the word of God. A pastor, a preacher, now understand there's a difference between a pastor and a preacher. A preacher is when I go to someone else's church and get the opportunity to preach. I preach. A pastor is over a local church. He doesn't just preach. He loves on. He cares for. He visits. He counsels. He tries to build up. See, I hope I do more at this church than just simply preach. I want to be involved in your lives. I want to be one of you. We are family. And I love it. I love this church. We are blessed here. And he tells this pastor here to teach God's word. You notice there he said to teach sound doctrine. He says, I want you to preach what is healthy, sound, that is solid and beneficial. And the word doctrine means teaching. Give them something that is going to be beneficial to their life, that is going to be applicable to their life. My desire is to give you something that you can walk out of here and use and be benefited by with the power of the Spirit of God. My desire is to help you be conformed to the image of God. I'm supposed to challenge you to fulfill His commissioning, to carry His word to the whole world. I'm not supposed to worry about your feelings as long as I'm being faithful to God's word. Sorry. But I'm going to answer to God. I need an amen on that one. Okay. Understand that I can't submit to any other authority but the Word of God. Quite honestly, I don't care what the Pope has to say. The book actually tells me that not to call any other father but the one. I have His Word. He's the authority. He has given me His word. I'm not supposed to fear man. I fear the one that gives life and takes it away. I have been called. Every pastor has been called to teach sound doctrine. And that's my desire, whether it's hurtful or not. Pastors need this reminder because too many want to complain or make ways around the scripture. Well, you know, I don't think they really meant it that way. Others will say, oh, but this is impossible. It's outdated. It's just because we're so far from God, we don't think we can apply His word. That doesn't work anymore. Well, we don't live in a perfect world. It's so dangerous when we say that about God's word. Because what we're actually saying is, I really don't want to apply that to my life. See, God does not give us the right to lower the standard. The only thing I can say, or if you're speaking for God, the only thing you have the right to say is, thus saith the Lord. And that's what we desire to do. Notice that Paul has called Titus to this very thing. Listen, I want you to preach this. And notice the first group that the pastor is the challenge in verse 2. The aged men. Some of your versions say the older men. Be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Be sober, think straight, be grave, be serious when seriousness is needed. Be temperate, be strong. Sound in charity, sound in faith. By faith and not by sight. He's telling the men here, in charity. Men, we're supposed to be lovable guys too. He says, in patience. Oh, that's a hard one. Men, we're to be the leaders of the home. We're to be the leaders of the church. We're to be the leaders in modeling holiness, in modeling godly behavior. And he starts out right here with a list. I want to say, no problem. And then we got a problem with every one of them. I can be sober until you hack me off, yeah? Yeah? I can be sober until you do something I don't like. You say something bad about me. But you see, he's speaking to men here. For men, there's many more characteristics to speak of, and we will. We're going to get into the men too. But today's Mother's Day, so ladies first. Amen, men? Okay. But notice in verse 3, who's being spoken to, and that's where we're going to jump into. Who's he speaking to in verse 3? The aged woman. Or in some of your versions, they'll say older woman. Today, that's not a nice thing to say. That's rude and bad taste. You don't say older woman. Maybe mature. No. Older woman, Scripture says. In Scripture, it was not shame or a matter of weakness. To be an older woman, quite honestly, was the opposite of shame and weakness. It was a place of honor and respect. This is what all ladies should strive for, is being a woman of honor and respect. And we're going to see what it calls for. Too often, you simply get older, but there's not a maturing into a godly woman. Understand, if you want to be a godly woman worthy of respect and honor, get older, there needs to be a maturing right now so that when you get there, that's what you have earned. Yeah? Okay. Don't grow. If you don't grow in the Lord and you still keep maturing right now, you will fail to fulfill the role God has called you to fill. You'll remain focused on yourself, pursuing your temporary pleasure, still wanting to be the center of attention. And that's the opposite of all God has called you to do, ladies. I haven't got one wimp female amen yet. Amy, help me out here. No. She's leaving me today. No, really. For Mother's Day, she wanted to get away from Josiah and I, so she's going to go visit a grandbaby without me. Oh. There's a female amen. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. A godly woman is highly honored in Scripture. And you and I should honor a godly woman. We should respect older women. But just because you're older does not mean you are worthy of honor. Just because you're older doesn't mean you're worthy to be honored. Contradicts everything that we want to say usually, don't we? Respect your elder. Yeah, respect. That's not a call for honor. Look at verse 3 there in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Okay. It feels like it doesn't say much, and yet there's a whole lot here as we continue to read. See, we're commanded to honor widows that are truly widows, those who are worthy of high esteem. You know, when as a lady gets older and starts to need help, you know whose responsibility is to help her? Verse 4 and verse 8 tell you that it's her family. They're the first responsibility to take care of her. Her kids, and actually says her nephews, any youngsters that she helped out with. If they neglect this responsibility, it says they're worse than an infidel. If you don't take care of your own family, you don't take care of your mama, your daddy, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa, you are worthy, or you are worse than an infidel. I've been making a lot of visits to care centers over the last 9 years since I've been here. And it's a shame to report how many elderly are there that the pastor is the only one that visits them. And then the children, when they visit, think it's a big deal and they want to be held up like they are kings and queens because they made it there one day during the year to celebrate their birthday. No. You're called to take care of them, to make sure they're all right. Otherwise, you are worse than an infidel. If you neglect the one who cared for you, you're sick. Amen. But not only the family to take care of them, the church had a list of widows. The church had a list of widows. The church would help care for them or visit them as needed according to how the family was doing. It's a reason, really, the office of deacons was created, was to help with this matter. So which widows are real widows? Which widows are put on the list? Because verse 3 says, honor only the widows that are real widows. So how do we identify a widow? Who's worthy to be placed on this church list, cared for by deacons, visited by the pastor? Go down to verse 9. Here's the goal for every lady, is to be this woman. In 1 Timothy 5, 9 and 10 says this, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been a wife of one man. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Wow. Let's break that down a little bit. What is a widow? What widow is worthy to be placed on the church list? Who is the worthy widow that God is speaking of? Who is that older lady that deserves honor and respect? First off, he says a widow must be at least 80 years. A score is 20 years. 3 times 20 is what? 60. If you ain't 60 years old, no. Why? You're young. You should still have energy to work, to minister, to serve. The second thing he says is wife of one man. She's a one-man woman. Doesn't just mean, oh, she had a husband and just one of them, but she's a one-man woman. This doesn't simply mean that she remained married, but that she was faithful to the love of her youth, that she honored him. She set a good example, carrying the picture of Christ loving his church. Remember, that's what marriage is a picture of Christ and his church. The sacrifice, the obedience, the submission. That's the picture that her marriage was. See the importance of being careful who we marry? Can I get an amen from the teens? Oh, no. Be careful that her marriage must have been good. The third thing he says is that her good works are obvious. He says in verse 10, well reported of four good works. Her reputation is one that she serves others. Not just because she's getting the job done. Not just so she can be the one to complain. She does it because she has the servant heart. And she wants to help somebody. Not just so she can say, oh, did you guys notice what I did? No, because a godly servant will do the job and doesn't need recognition because they know where the recognition comes from. They do it for the Lord. He says that her good works are obvious. Her reputation is serving others. It's not about herself. And he goes on in verse 10, if she has brought up children, did she raise children? Did she have kids? Or did she neglect them? How did she treat her kids? If she raised them, they should be caring for her right now. Verse 4 and 8 makes it clear. Did she bring up other kids, not her own? Did she love the orphans? As James 1 tells us, that's true religion and undefiled before God. Yeah? How did she treat others? You see, this is the godly woman. What else does it say? In verse 10, it goes on. She has lodged strangers. She's welcomed and cared for the needy believers. She's opened up her house to minister to those that are traveling, that are suffering, maybe have been persecuted. And she welcomes them. What else does it say in the sixth? Thing she says about this widow that she does is she washed the feet of saints. See, this is a picture of humble service. We talked about this before. Feet are nasty. I don't care how much little polish you got on your toes and how much time somebody spent rasping them. Your feet are nasty. Can I get an amen? Okay, feet are gross. Okay. And for you to humble yourself down to wash somebody's feet was the job of a slave. But this woman said, no, I want to serve you. I will humble myself and do what needs to be done. I want to wash your feet. And a saint is a reference to believers. She wants to meet the need of others. Humbly. Not to be recognized. That's why she humbled herself. She belittles herself. It goes on to say what else she does. She helped the afflicted. She showed compassion to the needy and to persecuted believers. Because remember, at that time, the church was being persecuted. They were running from Jerusalem. They were fleeing because they were being killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. And she'd show compassion on them. She didn't need attention on herself. You know why? She was too busy serving others. Often when we have time to complain, point fingers, or criticize, it's because we ain't busy enough doing something. She's too busy. And it finishes up that she's devoted to good works. Her life is to serve others, letting the love of Jesus be seen through her. Not occasionally, but it's a lifestyle. It's her reputation. Where did it start? Because of the fear of the Lord. She is to be praised. She loves the Lord. You see, the fear of the Lord puts him in the right position. You understand who he is and what he has done, and you develop a love for him, and all your actions are due to your love for him that was created because of your fear of him. See, this is the life of a lady that should be mature, that each lady should be maturing into. If you must convince someone that this lady is you, if you've got to convince someone that you fit the bill, guess what? Your reputation doesn't speak for itself. Am I getting out? I'm just saying, I'm just a messenger. But is that right? It's not an easy one, but it's true. She is devoted to good works, and that's what she is known for, serving others. It means your character is one of a godly, humble servant. A lady with a life devoted to serving as Christ served. She deserves honor of a godly lady. She deserves to be loved. And helped and taken care of. But the problem with ladies like this is they're usually the ones that are hard to serve. You ever notice that? They won't let you do nothing for them because they're too busy serving. They're too busy working. They're too busy helping. She's not going to ask anyone to serve him. She doesn't expect anyone to serve him. And she's not trying to explain to anybody why they should serve her. She's just serving and serving and serving. I remember a little old lady at my first church that I ministered full time. She was 93 years old. And on Sundays, she still went to the care center and pushed people in wheelchairs so they could go down to chapel. And she'd make jokes about, look, I'm pushing the old people around. They were 20 years younger than her. She didn't need you to do nothing for her. Why? Because her heart was to serve and to serve and to serve. And sometimes we got to put them on our list because sometimes they need help and they won't tell us. And our eyes got to be open. And we have some in here that do just that. They're looking at how they can serve, how they can encourage, how they can build up. But you see the importance here. Even God said, listen, the ones that are going to be put on the list of the church to be honored got to fit this bill. The ones that took their walk with Christ serious, applied the Word of God to their lives, humbled themselves, and were a picture of God, a picture of Jesus Christ. When one expects to be served, usually they're not qualified. Let me rephrase that. They're never qualified. I'm going to share. Years ago, a man passed away. The wife was only mid-40s. She informed my brother and I that we were going to raise her kids. And then she expected the church to buy her house and to take care of her. And she was rudely awakened. You don't fit the bill. Here's the thing. When one demands to be honored and taken care of, to be visited, to be supported. They're not qualified. They've not matured to this godly lady. You might think, well, that's just rude. Well, look there in 1 Timothy 5, go down to verse 11. But the younger widow, what word? Refuse. No. Simple word, isn't it? No. You haven't served. You haven't ministered. You haven't let the Spirit of God work in and through you. And we will not honor you as one of the women that gave their lives to minister. The church was not to lift her up as a godly woman and set her as an example of seeing she was a great lady just because she's an older lady. No. No. You see, maturing in the Holy Spirit, maturing in the Word of God, applying the Word of God in our lives is work. It's letting the Spirit of God transform us and change us so that when we reach that point in our lives, the truth is we're not even recognized the Lord is. Because all of our good works, the Scripture tells us, to make Him known. But as other believers, we see who has made investments. We can go through the history of the church, and I've heard some of ladies in this church that have worked hard in the past, invested in this church, and are now with the Lord that would fit this bill. Some of you probably have names in your head. I said, oh, I remember when. Yes. And you know what? They walked before the Lord as humble servants of the Lord. And they received all the rewards they ever needed. You and I have the opportunity now to encourage and build up those who are worthy. Moms, being simply a good mom isn't enough. It's a godly mother you're called to be. If you're a godly mother that loves the Word of God and applies God, the Word of God, is transformed by the Word of God, is modeling the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, thank you. If you're not, here's the cool thing. As God calls you to repentance and as allows you to walk with Him and start growing right now. Isn't that the cool thing? If you turn it over to Him and ask for forgiveness, He says, I don't hold it against you. I'll put it as far as the east is from the west. You start growing in God's Word right now. Young ladies, start now. Because that maturing process takes time. So that you can become that older lady of honor and praise. But you, if you are that godly woman that God has used. I was going to continue with some more points, but so that I don't rush through, we're not going to. If you're that woman of honor, thank you. And the truth is, if you are that woman, you probably didn't just think of yourself as, he's speaking to me. You're probably looking around at who else you can serve. Calm down a little bit today. And let us just say thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. And God has great rewards for you. Would you stand with me? The one thing about men and women alike, whether you're a mom, you're a dad, you're going to be, our lives being called by Christ is to be what? A reflection of Jesus Christ to this world. To be godly. To be holy. In other words, our lives let me more about Jesus. Yeah? Not about me. It's about Him. Let's sing together. More about Jesus. let's make a point to walk out these doors with a desire that people would see more about Jesus in my life than about ourselves. Will that change the world? Will that change our church? Will that change our family? Yeah. Let me just remind you, no Bible studies tonight. Spend time with the mothers in your life. Enjoy the day. It's a beautiful day out there. It could do this all year long. I think we'd all be okay, wouldn't we? And so if you want to order a shirt, you're welcome to look at them closer. They're up there. Miss Brenda's got the paper. Just need a check from you. Money talks, right? No, I don't say that in church usually, but hey, no. And but if you want them, we're going to order them all at once in a few weeks. So you go ahead and give her your order, and we'll get those shirts in as soon as possible. So how about we close in a word of prayer? Can we do that? Brother Carlos, would you close in prayer?